This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here we go, BT! Finally, our Knicks are about to get ready here for a postseason series against those damn semi-sixers. Get us to tip tomorrow at 6. I cannot wait to see the Knicks led by Jalen Brunson in the postseason.
First of all, I can't speak for everybody, but I mean, Knicks are supposed to win the series. I don't know what some people are thinking, and I really care less about what some people are saying, particularly somebody like Shaq, who I like, or Charles, who I like. But let's face it, what are these guys? These guys watch 7 games a year on the Knicks. The New York Knicks are supposed to win. This is not a cute little story. This is not the little engine that could. This is not a little, oh, wow, look, the Knicks delivered this season of overachievement nonsense. The New York Knicks are top 10. Not many teams can say this. Top 10, both offensive and defensive efficiency. They're led by a legit superstar. They got three-point snipers everywhere. They've got the home court advantage. And back to Jalen Brunson for a second. Like, Jalen Brunson, the debate, superstar, top level, second level. Digest this however you want. Jalen Brunson just delivered to you as Knicks fans and to the NBA by extension one of the all-time great New York Knicks seasons. Now, one of the all-time great New York Knicks seasons. This goes back to Clyde. You want to throw a Pearl season, a Willis Reed season, a couple of Patrick seasons, a couple of Bernard King seasons, throw a couple of Melo seasons in there from a scoring perspective. It is on. It is go time. Cute story, my ass. Knicks are supposed to win, and they're going to.
Well, forget about supposed to win, because they're not, according to the odds.
Yeah,
they're
I don't care what the odds are. I don't care one bit. The Knicks are better.
Well, I mean, so then you're saying this is a must-win series for them?
Yes. Yes, if the Knicks don't win this series, it's a colossal failure. There is no other way to unpack this. I don't care if the Knicks lose Game 7 on the at the buzzer on a 57-foot heave by Tobias Harris. Oh, wow, what a comparative season by the Knicks. Nonsense. I don't care what the odds say. I care less what other people are saying. I know what I see, and I know what I watch, and we know basketball in this city. And there is nothing that this Knicks team does not have. They are supposed to win. You want a superstar? You got it. You want a couple of bigs? You got it. You want a couple of wings who can snipe it? You got it. You got a team that digs in and plays defense? You got it. You want a good coach? You got it. You got home court? You want it? You got it. So why would the Knicks not be expected to win?
I think the perception, first of all, there are always going to be homers, right? Knicks fans, homers. And while we are Knicks fans, I'm not going to speak for you. You can speak for yourself. Certainly got 4 hours here. I am not a Knicks homer. Matter of fact, I said I was a little worried about matching up with Philadelphia, although after watching that play-in game on Wednesday night, I felt better about the matchup with Philadelphia before Butler got hurt.
Yep.
I'm watching that game thinking, oh, man, the Heat would be a nightmare. It'd be a 7-game grueling series. I don't want any part of that. And I look at the Sixers saying, well, Batum's not going to do this. I think it's a better matchup for the Knicks with the 76ers. I am not a Knicks homer to a point where I'm blind to the fact of, they're going to win the series or that the Sixers can't beat them. I think the 76ers are very good, as a matter of fact. However, I also am aware that Jalen Brunson has been one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA. And I, like you, don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the odds say. I don't care about Jokic. Jalen, you cannot be better. Now, you could be as good. You could be different. You could be more successful in other ways.
Yeah.
You can't be as important to your team or more important to your team than Jalen Brunson has been to the Knicks. It is impossible. You take him off the Knicks, they're trash. If you take Jokic off the Nuggets, I bet you the Nuggets are still better than the Knicks. Brunson has basically single-handedly carried the Knicks while they lost their second and third best player for the majority of the year, still without their second best player, to a two seed. So I believe Brunson is a superstar who can carry this team to a finals. Okay, I'm not putting a ceiling on them because I didn't believe it before. They proved me wrong. I also think the Knicks as a team are being disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Charles Barkley or Shaquille O'Neal or Draymond Green or, you know, other people.
The odds makers.
There's like, it's like this, the little engine that could feel good Knicks.
Yeah.
And it's like we here in New York are only believing in them because we're Knicks fans and because this is our town. And that is bull crap. I believe in this Knicks team because they've earned it. They're that good. Brunson is a legitimate superstar, and they play well as a team. Now, BT, you're right. They got to go out there and prove it. But the perception is that the Knicks aren't really that good, and a lot of people don't take them seriously.
I think that you're right about that, and I don't know why. I mean, I'm here to dispel it as much as I can, but at the end of the day, I really don't care what people think. Like, I don't care what Spike, and we love Spike, I don't care what Spike thinks about the Knicks. I don't care, as you said, with Charles or Reggie or these other national pundits, and I certainly care less about Draymond Green, who's got his own issues from his team perspective, right, flying in on a podcast, telling us how the Knicks had no chance to win. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because I've watched the Knicks this year. Because I'm not one of these guys who just watches highlights and jumps on the bandwagon. I have probably watched 75 of 82, maybe not, you know, tip to buzzer, but chunks and some tip to buzzer, 75 of 82 Knicks games. And everything that I see, and I'm not going to lie to you, there were definitely times during the year where my confidence was clearly shaken. Julius Randle goes down late January. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that is a massive problem, because the way the team was growing and gelling, the new addition of OG, obviously Brunson, obviously Randle, there was a mesh there that allowed us to dream big. And when he went down, we thought, maybe we were spared here. It could have been worse. Well, it is worse because he's not playing. And then you get OG. And then he's playing well. Even without Randle, they look good. And then he goes down. Every different configuration of the New York Knicks showed a resolve and a toughness and an aptitude and a connectivity as a team. And, oh, yeah, by the way, those are things that are a little less tangible. Like, those are things you say about cute teams that overachieve. Oh, they're connected. Oh,
yeah, but it's real.
They get along with each other.
Chemistry.
Yeah, their chemistry, their IQ, their aptitude. No, but they also put the ball in the bucket. They're also a top 10 NBA offensive efficiency team. They're also a top 10 NBA defensive efficiency team. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. The Knicks are supposed to win this series. The Knicks will win this series. And if they don't win, then I'm having the conversation, they might have the wrong coach. They're supposed to win this series.
Right, but it is funny how you can feel strongly about them, and we could say, hey, if they don't win this first-round matchup, it is going to be a disaster for
the
season.
It's going to be.
But the perception, or maybe even the reality, not the perception, the reality for other people, don't look at the Knicks as being that good. And so they're going to have to prove themselves here. Now, they did win a postseason series a year ago, but they had a disappointing second round against Miami. They are without Julius Randle, so there are some, you know, built-in excuses, whatever you want to say. But I think the Knicks themselves, did you see Brunson's post yesterday, his story that he wrote for The Athletic?
Yes, yes, yes.
Dude.
Yes. He's unreal.
I wanted to run through a wall.
Yeah. He's sitting there with his hoodie at the press conference, like just locked in.
He's locked. So,
go time.
So
he's ready.
We feel, and they, the Knicks, more importantly than what we feel, the Knicks themselves aren't going into this saying like, oh, well, our ceiling is to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever, have a good series against a tough Sixers team and see where. No, their expectations are high. Our expectations are high for them based on watching them all year long and knowing and believing in what they're capable of, led by a legitimate superstar. But outside, it's like, Like, I don't think it would be. I think people expect the Knicks to lose. We talk about this all the time. Not that it's a be all end all, but the barometer generally can be in the odds and what the odds makers say. And whether that is the disrespect for Jalen Brunson as an MVP candidate, whether that is the disrespect for the Knicks as being a legitimate championship contender, whether that is the disrespect for the Knicks winning this series in which they have home court playing against a banged up Sixers team. I mean, you watch this team. Joel Embiid doesn't look like he's 100% healthy. He's not, hasn't been, and yet the Knicks are still considered like underdogs to a certain extent.
Well, I mean, listen, I honestly can't control what people think. And
no, you know, but they can.
Well, yeah, that's kind of where I was going. You know, but just to finish that, I can't control what people think. And a long time ago, I honestly stopped caring about what people think. I don't care. You know, you're of your own volition. You know, you watch what you watch. I watch what I watch.
Right, but don't you want to see the Knicks prove them wrong?
I do, and I fully expect that they will. And if they don't, then it's the biggest underachievement in a while. Like, again, I can't reiterate this enough. This is not a cute little story. And, like, if the Knicks get clipped in the last 2 minutes, Game 7, I'm going to sit here on the day after, if this were to happen, and applaud them and laud them for a great season. It will be a season of colossal disappointment. Now,
either way, because usually you're like, yeah, I got to see how it plays out.
No, I don't care how it plays out. Win the series. Now, I will say, and we'll cross this bridge hopefully when we get there if we have to, like, if they advance, you play the Bucks. Is Giannis right? Did the Bucks even advance? Like, there will be varying degrees of confidence going into each series. The Celtics, I'll tell you right now, I'm not saying they couldn't beat them. I wouldn't pick them to win. Right. I don't expect them to beat the Celtics. So it's not about being a homer. It's about identifying this objectively, what the Knicks do well. And I can't help if most of the world doesn't see what they do well, because they do a lot right.
But
to me, there is no but.
No, no. But somebody at the end of the day, and that's what makes this so special, is going to be proven right. Somebody's going to be proven wrong.
That's fine. That's always the scoreboard, right?
But that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, let's go. I'm not going to run from that.
Are the Knicks going to validate what we feel about them in this series? Forget about beyond. Let's just focus on this series. Are they going to validate what we've seen all year long and what we feel about them and believe? Or are the naysayers and doubters and disbelievers going to be proven correct? That's what the Knicks have to have on their shoulders now this year. By the way, we don't have to care what anybody else thinks. It's being said about the Knicks. So we take it personally because that's our team. This is our city.
I think you take it more personally than me. I truly don't care. I honestly don't care.
They care.
I don't care what
the players in the team, because it's being said about them.
Yes.
I couldn't care less.
I don't care. Like the backup, scrub Sixers, centers, like, oh, we want the easier matchup. Great. You got it. We'll see. We'll see you Saturday at 6. We'll see what happens.
Well, but the problem is we don't play. They do.
Oh, and
and they're going to have to go.
But I don't think that they care in the sense where it's going to get like...
It's being said about them.
No, where it's a distraction or even where it's fuel. And that's what... Or motivation. I don't think these guys need it. You got to look at the composition of the team. Half the team won championships in college. OG won a championship in Toronto. Like, this group walks through the door and they expect to win. And now listen...
But if they lose, you're going to have to come on and say, you know what? I'm sorry, Charles. I'm sorry, Draymond. I'm sorry, Spike.
Well,
I was wrong. You were right.
I think it'll be more, we got to mix things up. Yeah, I mean, I'll have no problem saying that I was wrong.
Right.
I'm not going to go on the apology tour. I'm not going to start kissing anybody's behind.
But they would be proven correct that the Knicks were,
That's fine. That's fine. And, yeah, I mean, I'll say I got it wrong. My judgment was erroneous. Right. The Knicks didn't win a series that I thought they would win.
And then we attacked the Knicks, right?
And then I would go bonkers. And I would care less about Spike and Charles and Shaq and more about what the hell went awry. Yeah, I'll tell you, listen, when you watch these teams, we are so, and we'll get to these calls here in a sec, 877-337-6666, but we watch these teams, whether it's the ninth inning of a closer trying to slam the door, or a late free throws, or a breakaway on the ice, you know, shootout, and we feel like we're out there. We're not. We obviously know that, and we really, no matter how much we yell or cheer or lament, whatever, we don't control what happens. But I'll say this, I truly do believe, from my own inner... my own inner scoreboard. I'm going to be right about a lot of predictions, and it's not about a prediction in terms of winning. I will take this to the bank that the belief that I have in this team's in terms of their toughness, in terms of their professionalism, in terms of them really, their resilience, something that I don't know that any team in our city has had this much of. You can't control the whistle. Shots don't always drop. An ankle could be sprained. But these boys, these Knicks, they're going to win, and they're going to snatch their soul.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Dude, I'm pumped.
Nobody.
Nothing gets me pumped like the Knicks playoffs. Nothing.
I can't wait for it tomorrow evening, as a matter of fact.
Let's go, Dove!
Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad? Dove obviously pumped up
go
as well.
New York, go, baby.
There you go!
Honestly, I feel really, really good about this team. Joel Embiid is at 70%, if that, watching that game. We have three dogs. We have three big dogs, in Precious Achiuwa, in Mitchell Robinson, and in Ihart. They're not going to baby Embiid. Embiid's going to get bumped around. I'll be honest with you, they're not going to do it on purpose. I wouldn't be shocked if Embiid's out after game two.
Well, I mean, who knows
gonna,
about
they're
that?
They're going to push them around, and I'm not hoping for an injury. I'm not. But the Knicks are a bunch of dogs. And Philly's not.
Yeah,
and that's why we're going to win this series.
I'm not, and thank you for the call. I'm not going to get into the dog aspect of it. You want to talk about logistics, BT, as far as who's going to stop Joel Embiid. One thing that I would worry about from a defensive perspective, because you could say, yeah, well, the Knicks have some guys in there with Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein who could defend Embiid. Yeah,
and Achiuwa. And by the way, OG's got, I know it's going to sound nuts, OG's going to take a few reps on him. Watch. He's going to be matched up sometimes.
Well, do you know why, though? Because perimeter. So when you talk about Mitchell Robinson, his strength is a rim protector.
Yeah, for sure.
Embiid stretches the floor, and he's going to play beyond the perimeter. So that's going to negate what Mitchell Robinson could do defensively. Hartenstein maybe could do it a little bit better, as he could play out on the perimeter a little more than Mitch.
Yep.
But let's not make like, oh, well, the Knicks got two good defensive centers, could shut him down. It's not about that. To your point, we've already heard about OG maybe on him.
Yeah.
And because you're going to need a perimeter defender to slow down the 7-foot Embiid, if you could possibly do that. Well, so there are going to be issues here. I do think it's a better matchup for the Knicks. Let's not be blind to the fact that the Sixers with Embiid are a very dangerous first-round opponent.
That's why we were talking before the show, and Hoff was saying, do you think they're going to sweep them five? I'm like, no, I don't get wrapped up in that. Just get four before they do. And, you know, Embiid is a great player. He's great.
But he is compromised.
He's a little compromised, yeah, although he made some big plays at the end of the game, 11 points in the fourth quarter. That
passer,
great pass as well, obviously the end one, which was a big bucket there at the end of that game the other night. And Embiid's going to draw doubles, and he gets rid of it quickly. He does the right thing. He's a beast. He's almost unstoppable, right? So I get that. He's going to get his, probably going to average 30 and 13, something like that. I think the key is you know, obviously not letting Maxey look like an all-world player. And he's going to have a game or two where he does. But then I think the depth and the strength and numbers is going to obviously support the Knicks. But also, you talk about nobody stopping Embiid, and they won't. They won't stop him. Now the Knicks with the shooters, you got to get Embiid outside playing defense as well. So it's not just Embiid shooting threes. It's also Embiid on switches, 22 feet away from the rim. Like, how Embiid's going to complicate the Knicks' world, the Knicks are going to complicate his world as well, even though he is an amazing player.
Matthew is calling from Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Matthew?
Matty.
Yeah, what's up? How you guys doing?
Oh, you just made it at the buzzer. What's up, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm actually rooting for the Knicks. I actually hope they win. But I had one problem with it, with one of your takes with Jalen Brunson, MVP. I don't think he's close to SGA. I don't know how you even see that.
I don't care about SGA.
Yeah.
How about that? I honestly don't.
Yeah, but,
and thanks for the
he's
call.
He's a great player.
No, yeah, but. Yeah.
And I don't even, listen, all we said was that Jalen Brunson's an MVP candidate. What I said specifically, and you can look this up statistically and try to refute this, Jalen Brunson has given Knicks fans one of the all-time great New York Knicks season. Goes back to the 50s. I didn't even mention some of those great early players, but I did mention Clyde and Willis and Bernard King and Patrick Ewing and Melo. He gave you that. Now, the MVP, he's not going to win it. You know, he's moved up a little bit. I don't care about that now.
Right, but, and what I said was there's no way that any other player in the league could be more valuable to their team than Jalen Brunson is to the New York Knicks. I don't care what anybody says. And I know how good other players are, but I've watched Brunson every single night, and I know that if you take him off this Knicks team, they're probably a 10 seed, if that. If that, they might not even be that. If you take other stars, SGA or Jokic, off their team, those teams would
be
better.
Edwards.
No, they wouldn't be as good, but they still wouldn't be as bad as the Knicks would be if they lost Jalen Brunson.
If they didn't have Jalen, forget about losing him. Like, if Jalen Brunson never came here and he stayed with Dallas, and the Knicks didn't do something incredible, which they probably wouldn't have because there weren't many other options if you didn't get Jalen Brunson. I don't even think the Knicks are playing in the play-in game.
Right.
I honestly don't think they're getting ready for the lottery.
That's the point.
Where we are.
Right. They would be that bad. And maybe that does play to the point of some of the national pundits or whatever who say, well, they're not that good because maybe they just look at it as a one-man show. Maybe they think Brunson, his size in the postseason, could be. I don't know. I can't speak for that. All I could say is when you start talking most valuable player, by definition, doesn't mean best, doesn't mean most talented, doesn't mean most dominant, most valuable player. It is impossible to find a more valuable player. As valuable? Maybe. It is impossible to find a more valuable player than Jalen Brunson has been to the New York Knicks.
We got a break here. Yeah. I want about 3 seconds of silence. Just listen to nothing for 2-3 seconds. Okay. Now know what's coming. Fourth quarter, down a point, Brunson, and one. And then the Garden just explodes. OG from the corner, down two, bang, triple. Knicks up one, timeout, 13 seconds to go. Like, the sound that this place is going to deliver and emit is going to sound different. We had not heard this because even last year,
different.
Didn't really fully believe 2020 with COVID. We were just happy to be back. This is different.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready.
Sixers are going to taste a little something that they haven't. This is New
Get
York.
Get the fork. It's time to eat.
We are the New York Knicks. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls on the other side.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
David Wells has pissed up perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. A lot to do today. Getting started here talking Knicks. I cannot wait for this weekend. We got the Yankees. We got the Mets. We got the Islanders. We got the Knicks. You got the Rangers. BT, I'm fired up for it. And, of course, we got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We did a lot on the Giants yesterday. We'll talk some Jets today. Joe Douglas is speaking right now. So we'll hear from Joe Douglas in a little bit as well. I got to give you this number here before we get back to the calls on the Knicks real quick.
Okay.
Warren Sharp, who I follow on social media, he is an NFL analytics guy, right?
Usually yeah, I know. On top of it. I know his name. Yep.
Okay. Total, this is for last season. I'm just going to give you a number. Total distance in air yards of all the 2023 touchdown passes for each team, okay? Mm. The Miami Dolphins were number one.
Why does this sound like it's not a good jet stat?
I'm not usually a numbers guy.
Go ahead. I like these numbers, although I probably already know it because I watched it. Go ahead.
I'm going to have you guess here. So just to give you an example,
yeah.
The Dolphins were first. I'm going to give you the top three teams.
Dolphins
were first with 423 total air yards.
Got it. Keep going. Two.
Cowboys, 421.
Dallas, 421. Gotcha.
New Orleans, 410.
Wow, that's a little higher than I thought. Wow, Saints, 410. All right, so basically, the amount of yards that were thrown in the air minus the yak that led to touchdowns.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Now,
Miami, Dallas, Saints. Got it.
Okay, now.
Jets last.
They are. I want you to guess.
I think it's less than 100. Is it less than 100?
You want to guess where the Giants are?
Yeah, sure.
No, you don't have to guess the number where they are, but give me the, not where they rank, but their number total.
I'm going
to
say that, I'll even give you an estimate rank. I'm going to say that, there's 32 teams in the NFL, right?
Yes.
12, 16. I'm going to say that the Jets ranked 32nd.
The Jets are last,
yes. Yeah, 32nd, and the Giants were 30th.
No, Giants were higher than that. 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24. The Giants are 23.
All right, so better than I thought.
But give me the total. Jets, yeah, give me the total. No, I want you to guess the Giants first.
I'm 127.
207.
Okay. So I'm underestimating those Giants a little bit. My bad. Sorry, Giant fans. The Jets, the robust total of 81.
Bro.
What is it?
36.
Oh, God almighty. What impact does this have today? Who cares, Warren Sharp?
Dude, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying, like I would never have brought it up.
Yeah, if it wasn't so bad.
36?
That's gross.
Like, even the Giants, who couldn't move the football, had 207. The Carolina Panthers had 97. By the way,
yeah,
Kansas City had 101.
Yeah, they didn't throw the ball the way they did.
I'm just saying, like, you would never think that. I know that. But you would never think that. And it really, it's not a great barometer, but 36?
Put it this way. How many guys at the station could throw a football 36 yards?
I mean,
probably a couple. I don't mean Boomer and Tiki.
Right.
You know, I don't know if anybody on the show besides me. I don't think you can. I don't think Hoff can.
I don't think I can.
Keith
get it
can.
30 yards.
I can. Evan can't. C Mac can.
The Jets can.
Basically, there's
apparently
a few guys at the station, and we're all way, way past our prime if we even had one, who could throw the ball further than the Jets had on non-yak touchdown
36
yards. Gross. What do you want me to say? It was gross then. It's worse today.
I know. I'm just saying that number. Sometimes.
Can we get back to the Knicks?
Yeah, I know. You're right. 877-337-6666.
I mean, I can see if, like, Zach Wilson was coming back, it might be a little more pertinent. Come on.
I know. Well, it's just, you should
He's still here, as Hoff said. He's right. He's still here. He's technically still here.
And I did read one of the quotes from Joe Douglas.
Yes.
He did echo what Woody Johnson said, saying Zach Wilson is an asset.
Yeah.
I can't disagree.
When did Joe say that?
Today.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He did today.
Well meaning an asset and potential trade.
Well, he said they're going to explore trading, but as Woody said, he's an asset.
Yeah. What he really should say, we've already tried exploring trading. Nobody's remotely interested, so we hope that we can get a seventh-round pick if we give somebody a sixth.
Let me see if I can give you the exact quote before we get back to the Nick Coles here. Blah, 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 blah.
You're ruining my mood. I mean, I'm sorry, I have to see what he's doing to me here.
I had to say that. So pumped up, so happy. I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm not trying to distract, but I just couldn't believe those numbers, right?
That's,
BT and Sal on the fan, 877-337-6.
Yeah, real quick though, they had 36. Who was like second? Who was 31st? Just the yardage.
I told you, Carolina was 97.
I didn't hear that part. Okay, got you.
But the Panthers just thunk that.
With a rookie who was awful.
White Hoff, what was that?
They tripled the Jets total.
Yeah, they did.
Carolina.
Oh man.
All right, let's get back to the calls.
Come on, Rogers, get healthy, buddy.
Vinny is on Staten Island. What's up, Vin?
Vinny.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let's rock and roll tomorrow for Game One. I'm excited. I'm pumped. But I don't like the fact that everybody in the NBA world puts us down. That's why we have to come out, punch them in the mouth early, set the tone, set the defensive tone, get the crowd. The crowd will be up, but let's get them even riled up with a good, like, offensive put back, rebound, something like that, because that's what we need. We need to show the league who we are, what we belong here as a 2 seed, and that's all I can take. I am tired of Brunson not getting the recognition he deserves.
Yep.
You know, like, because the fact that he did something that other people, other Knicks couldn't do. Patrick Ewing, they were the number one seed at one point. But
don't disparage Ewing and say that Brunson's doing something.
No. Sal.
Yeah.
I did not. I said the Knicks were the number one seed at one point, but that's how long it's been.
Yep.
Since Brunson did this. So that's why I said we need to come out and we need to not let the Sixers play around with us.
Vinny, let me jump in for a sec. Appreciate the call there, but you're kind of treating, and I respect this, like there's urgency. That's good, Vin. But Vinny's positioning this as if it's a football game.
Right.
Like, you know, you needed an early stick back dunk to send the message.
No,
dude, it's a long night. Knicks could fall behind 12-3 and still come back and win by 10 points.
Garden,
the NBA's that kind of way.
Garden's going to be lit.
Yeah, we don't have to tell the 19,000 people there to be ready. But they will be ready.
But the one thing I will say that I agree with Vinny is that it is time for this Knicks team to show the world, whether it's Brunson himself, whether it's Tibbs, whoever, the Knicks as a team, to show that they are not to be taken lightly, to show that they are serious and that what they did in the regular season is legitimate and transferable to the postseason. And I got to be honest with you, while I think the Knicks are going to win this series, I still do have some, I don't know if doubts might be a little too strong, some questions.
Concerns.
Yeah, about,
that's fair,
about if this is transferable, because everybody, all the naysayers keep saying, yeah, well, you know, the Celtics weren't trying in the regular season, or this team, or the Heat don't try in the regular season, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the playoffs. And while the Knicks have already been at a 10, everybody else was maybe at a 6 or a 7 or a 7 or an 8. Now they're turning it up to a 10.
And they're
going to be able to elevate that much more. Like, this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Are they at who they are going to be as good, Or is it going to translate as the way it did in the regular season as well in the postseason when other teams turn it up?
Listen, I think it's a really important point. I know exactly what you're saying. I think it would be more applicable, like, if the Knicks weren't as skilled as they are. That's what I think is being lost here. Like, yeah, I do believe there's some. Would you spill something?
I dropped my water cap.
Oh, I got you. I think there's something to be said for NBA teams that strap it on every night. There's only a few of them, but the teams that really play with integrity every night that can squeeze out some, maybe a few more wins than their talent base would ordinarily suggest because they play hard for 82. I agree. That's a real thing. But when you back up the urgency with the shooting prowess and then Brunson's exploits, like, I don't think their achievement is derived from effort. It's partly derived from effort, but I think people are sleeping on the Knicks' talent level. I think they're about to find out.
The greatest example was the first year that they made the playoffs, the pandemic-shortened year.
Yep.
It was all about that. The reason why they were the four seed that year was because they played harder than everybody else night in, night out. Now, it was an endearing, redeeming quality. And
it was fun because we hadn't had it in a while. We loved 100%. It. We ate it up. We were pumped.
I said it at the time. That was my favorite team or favorite season to watch since the 90s.
It was up there. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And they had no players. Like, it was just Jalen Brunson. All due respect to those
Randall.
Guys. Excuse me, that's what I meant. Yep. Outside of Julius Randle, who carried that team, they had no players. All due respect to them. Like, Reggie Bullock can't be your second best player. I mean, Alfred Payton was running the point.
He was
for
playing
point. Sake,
but we had a young RJ, and we thought maybe he could be a key cog. But other than that, you're right. It was a lot of, ancillary pieces and spare parts.
And then you saw it, and not dissimilar to what happened with the Sixers in the regular season this year, where the Knicks owned the Hawks in the regular season that year. And then they got beat pretty handedly in the first round.
Yep.
So I could understand that, but this is a totally different team.
Real fast. You think the Knicks win? Do you think they win game one? Yes or no?
I do, yes.
Okay. If they don't, do you still have faith that they win the series?
I do.
So do I.
But that sets a bad... Just
it does.
They did with Miami, that was a bad one last year.
Yeah, but Miami's better coached than Butler's... It's just... That's really why...
Because I think the Knicks are getting one in Philly.
Oh, for sure. Wow. I mean, I love this team for a lot of reasons, but I think their ability, like, they could play at West 4th Street and lock the cage.
I know, but
the Knicks are going to find a way to win.
But one thing I told you that I was concerned about prior to the trade deadline, and then even after the deadline when they didn't do anything, when they got Burks and Bogdanovich, even with Deuce McBride, who we like and has been getting productive minutes, like, is DiVincenzo going to be that guy? It can't just be Brunson.
It's not going to be.
So
OG.
Down five or six on the road. Game is starting away. Crowd getting nuts. You know what I mean? The balance of the game is about to shift here. Knicks down seven. Timeout.
Yeah.
Who's stopping it?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to tell you. You're going to call that timeout. You're going to give it back to Jalen. He's going to get an N1. He's going to get a floater. Going to bang a three. And eventually he's going to make the right pass. And somebody's going to stick a shot.
It just can't be all on him. For them to win this series and go beyond, they're going to need more than even just Brunson and Ananobi.
I agree with that.
So DiVincenzo's got to, come with
the
sack.
This is a good test. This is a good test because the guy that you've always liked him, but you haven't necessarily bought in as much as I have and others have with DiVincenzo this year. He very well might be the wild card. He might be the answer.
BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls on the other side. By the way, real quick, Joe Douglas on Zach Wilson. Zach is an asset. We're obviously open to trading Zach. There have been discussions, but nothing's really changed.
Yeah, because nobody's picked up the phone.
On that asset.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. We are talking New York Knicks playoffs. BT, you know what? We shouldn't take this for granted. I don't think that we do, but just to reiterate, think of how many years, like, I know you and I just got together a year ago. You were here, for a couple years doing the show with Tiki. I was doing the overnights, whatever. So we've been on the air in recent years, and we've got to experience some Knicks postseason series. But, I mean, you're talking about for the better part of 20 years, the Knicks weren't in the postseason. And even when they were, it wasn't relevant. And if you go back before that, think of, like, what Mike and Chris had to work with.
Yeah.
Summers, like, all the Knicks, it was a regular thing. that they talked about the Knicks being a, you know, mainstay in the postseason. And now when you throw in the Rangers, and we could get into that too, you know, Rangers, Islanders in the postseason, obviously Knicks and Rangers, the symmetry between, you know, 93-94 season and now 23-24 season, 30 years later, you got both these teams being top seeds in their respective leagues. You know, Rangers, the President's Trophy winner, Knicks, a number two seed. We can be embarking on something special. I'm not saying that the Rangers could win the Cup again. I'm not saying that it's exactly going to play out the way that it did then, but it could, and it could be something special. And for me, I don't know about for you, I've always dreamt of being on the air. You can't buy that. It doesn't happen all the time. Yankees postseason, yeah, that happens more often than not. But the fact that, like, we haven't seen the Knicks this relevant basically since we've been doing this.
I know.
I mean, this is special.
I don't take it for granted. And, you know, by the way, the last time it happened like this, to the extent with the Knicks and the Rangers, 94, baseball was canceled. So think about that.
About, I didn't even think
about
that.
Yeah, think about that added element here. The Mets going against Yamamoto tonight. Can't wait to watch that, see if they can stay hot out there.
Well, we get the Yankees with Soto, who are on fire. You got the Mets actually playing well, back over 500, taking on the Dodgers, which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
And it's not just that the
draft,
Knicks,
obviously.
The draft is coming. It's not just that, like, the Knicks are good, which is just fun in itself, but that window of darkness that you referenced, mm-hmm. We don't have enough time on the air to actually tell people who may have forgotten how dark it was.
Right.
Like, there's not being incredibly competitive, and then there's being dysfunctional with lawsuits and coaches quitting.
Total embarrassment.
I mean, just a circus at the Garden.
And I guess that's kind of my point. I'm not just even talking about, like, from the talk show perspective, but from a fan's perspective, when you have these games, when you have these series, and now this has been the third year of the last four that we've had this to look forward to with the
Knicks.
Yeah,
starting to get used to it, starting to expect it again.
And there's nothing better.
It's the best.
There's nothing better when that schedule comes out, whether it's the Knicks or Rangers, or obviously, you know, if you get into it with the Giants, and obviously the Jets haven't been in the postseason 14 years, but when that playoff schedule comes out, and specifically in this case with the Knicks and Rangers, you look at that seven-game series and, you know, game one Saturday at 6 o'clock.
What am I doing? What do I have planned? How do I navigate the schedule?
So
we'll start cranking out right away.
This is going to be a whirlwind at least a couple of weeks here with the first rounds for both the Knicks and the Rangers, and I cannot wait. Louie is in the Bronx. What's up, Louie?
And that'll take me right to my point, BT, of because mostly on all your takes, I agree with them, but the questioning of the head coach has to stop. And just like you said, the last several years, the Knicks are in the playoffs. They're making the proper steps. And is Vogel any better of a coach than him? Is Tyronn Lue any better of a coach? Is Budenholzer any better of a coach than Thibodeau? And I just named three guys that won championships that are no longer with the team they won with. And mind you, two of them had James, LeBron, and the other one had Giannis. So did he get out-coached by Spoelstra last year? Yeah, but Spoelstra's not available. And every other coach would have got out coached by Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
So to question this coach and to say if the Knicks lose this series against Philly, which I don't believe they will, but anything's possible.
Yeah.
But then to question and put all the blame on the coach is so unfair.
Well, hold on, Lou. I largely agree with what you're saying. So I don't want this to be hijacked here. People just tune in and saying, what is he saying? Thibs should be fired? No. What I'm saying is that, you know, for the first time, and I've been a massive Tom Thibodeau supporter, even when people were piling on the minutes and this and that, he's got a ceiling. But there is such a thing as a ceiling. And if the Knicks don't win, I mean, what, does he have a job for life? Doesn't work that way.
No, he doesn't have a job for life, but where do you go after him? Who's so great? Spoelstra's not available.
No, I got
where
it.
Where do you go?
No, but Lou, don't tell me I can't have the conversation, and I don't want to have that conversation today, because I'm saying Knicks in six. And if I was inclined to go one of the other ways, I would say Knicks in five rather than Knicks in seven. Like, I'm very confident the Knicks will win. But depending upon how it goes, and one thing that Tom Thibodeau's got to stop doing is when guys are like, hey, Nick fan, you watch, you know what I'm saying, where a guy's red hot, he pulls him, and then he's on the bench 7, 8, 9 minutes. You're like, whoa, what happened to so-and-so? Well, he interrupted his flow. He's a really, really good coach. He's a great, great culture changer. He's a great franchise elevator. He's also 61 or 62, hasn't gotten to the finals yet. So just to ask the question, it's not out of bounds, and I love Tom.
Did you feel like that going into last year's first-round series, that basically if they don't win this series, Tibbs is going to
come in? I did not. I did not.
Interesting.
The Spoelstra, and I know Spoelstra is an all-timer. Like, Spoelstra's a Hall of Famer.
I'm talking about the first-round series against Cleveland.
I know. I know what you're saying. Okay. I did not. The Spoelstra series with Miami really highlighted some things that worry me about Tom. Now, to be fair, the list of things that concern me is much shorter than the list of things that I love about Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
That series was, he got really outcoached.
Well, I'm with Louie in the sense of, like, just because we do this all the time. Oh, this guy can't get it done, can't get over the hump, not good enough, failed in the postseason, and that will be a top story, if not the top story, if the Knicks did, in fact, lose this series to the Sixers in the first round. I don't care what Embiid coming back. I don't care what it is. They can't lose the series. Tibbs will be one of the main talking points afterward, but where are you finding better? A guy who's built the culture, a guy who's built them into a sustained, successful team.
Yep.
Where are you finding better? Now, until he gets over the hump and gets to a finals, he's always going to be a guy that, hey, yeah, he's a good coach, but he didn't get to the finals. Same way Andy Reid. Well, he didn't win a Super Bowl until he did. Now, all of a sudden, look at what's happened. So
it
happens all the times in sport. Oh, this guy's, yeah, he's a great manager, but he never got to the World Series. Okay, well, you know, sometimes it's circumstance involved.
I agree.
I don't think, ultimately, Tibbs is what is holding them back. As a matter of fact, if they do lose this series, I don't think it will be because of Tibbs. I'm not saying it's not going to be a talking point, because it will, but I don't think it's going to be because of him.
Well, again, this goes back to a conversation me and Sal had about a week or so ago when we first started jumping into, all right, Knicks are around the corner, playoffs, and I remember saying there were four things that and I didn't know they were playing Philly, four things that we would identify in very clear terms about these Knicks after the playoffs. Number one is, and you know the list, but I want to reiterate for those who may not have heard it real fast. Number one, is Brunson truly a superstar? Number two, can you win a championship with Tom Thibodeau? Right now, in my gut, both are yes, okay, just to be clear.
Right.
Number three, is OG Anunoby worth, you know, 5 years, $35, $38, $40 million a year extension? I'm not sure. I think so, but I want to see. And the fourth one is, can you envision a better tomorrow without Julius Randle? And I lean yes, with all due respect to Randle, who is a dog. Like, I really do respect him. But I do think what he doesn't do well is problematic in the playoffs. Quick decisions and efficiency. So I'm open-minded to see how they look without him. But yeah, I mean, you don't get a job for life. And when you're in your 60s and have coached for 20 years and you haven't won, it's not an unfair question to ask. I'm not bringing it up now, like in terms of any big thing. I'm not hanging over Tom Thibodeau's head. I think they'll win. If he gets thoroughly outcoached this series and they lose, I'll have a different discussion.
More of your calls on the other side. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.